Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome
to our show.
Yeah. And today we have our special guest, Mike. I'm sorry. Mike, could you say your last name if you want
it's
to?
It's Kraus. It's Kraus.
Our show. All right.
Thank you. Thank
Mike,
you.
So you're with you're vice president of the worldwide biker club called Iron Order.
Yes, sir. Iron Order Motorcycle Club. Yes, sir.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on our show. We're very thankful to have you today.
And we're actually very excited to talk to you because, you know, it's unusual for us to talk to someone from a motorcycle club, and we don't know that much about the lifestyle, although I know that David's brother belongs to Motorcycle Club.
Right. Yeah, so that kind of got our interest, and, we just contacted you to... because a lot of people in our network just don't know a lot about the biker lifestyle, and we just thought it would be really interesting because we know that you call yourselves brothers and you have a brotherhood, and it's kind of a family-oriented club, like I guess a lot of them are.
I guess in the spiritual network, we're interested in forming tribes and having sort of a closer connection between people in the community. And I guess your motorcycle club is an example of a very closely knit community. And I think sometimes people do not understand how much, how close it is and how much loyalty and other values are important in your club. So we're very excited to have you on our club, on our show, and would love to you to tell us how you first got into the club and a bit more about the club.
Yeah, this will be a short interview, but a really good one. And Universal Soul Love is like a club too. Mm. In a way, we're supportive, and
that's right.
Yeah, it's a network. So yeah, if you just want to tell us, Mike, about how you got into the biker lifestyle and what that's like for you and how you feel about that, and maybe after that, how the club got founded and started.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. The club actually got started back in 2004 out of Louisville, Kentucky. About 8 to 9 gentlemen got together, and they came from different walks of life, and they didn't have a real fit for any of the clubs in the local area, so they just formed one themselves, you know, just friends. I mean, really friends from different walks of life. National president later on was actually a Secret Service agent.
Wow.
Another gentleman worked for a wholesale distributor. Another one was worked for a corporation for a food vendor, a food service. So they all came from different walks of life, and they just wanted to form something that was different out there because they didn't fit into any other place. And they formed this club, Iron Order. From there, it kind of spawned by word of mouth because we don't recruit. Just word of mouth. Somebody knew somebody and talked to somebody else. And, you know, within a matter of years, you know, we had chapters in multiple states. And now we're practically in, we're about maybe 46 states out of the 50. And then in about 5 different countries right now.
Are you in Australia?
No, he's not.
No, I'm not. No,
oh,
we
I'm
are
sorry.
Not.
Is the club in Australia?
We've had interest out of Australia, but as you know, Australia is a hard nut to crack. It's a very unique place out there. We watch the news, we read the news, we try to keep up what's going out there, but it's a very Australia is very unique for the motorcycle club organizations.
It is. Yeah, Australia's. It's even different for me, you know, because I was in the court system for a long time. I did a lot of criminal defense investigation, as a lot of people know. There's not a lot of priority on law enforcement and security, and there's it's just a very different culture. In a lot of ways, laws are simplified, and it's just more, how would you put it, Lana?
Family orientated?
Australia. Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So how long have you been the president of the club?
Yeah, and what was your experience?
Well, I came in the club in 2006, about two years later after it was formed. Wow. I came out of Atlanta, Georgia. I was the 13th. I was in the 13th chapter. Me and several guys got together and formed a chapter. Interestingly enough, the guys that I formed it with, I used to play softball with on the weekends. Huh. And, you know, and I used to ride my motorcycle, you know, I've ridden motorcycle for years. And I used to ride my motorcycle to the softball games, and they just knew I ride motorcycles all the time. And then I'm in the military myself. I'm active duty Army. And when I came back from my second deployment, they called me up and said, "Hey, we met a bunch of guys that ride bikes. We think you might enjoy it, you know." And I met with these friends of mine, and you know, at first I said no. I actually said no because the patches and the colors looked very familiar with another club, and I didn't want no part of that. And then they explained to me that we're not affiliated with anybody. We're not associated with other clubs. We're independent. We're neutral. We're law-abiding. You know, we do our own thing, mind our own business. And I was it kind of piqued my interest. And so that was in 2006. And then in 2008, I was a regional director for the Southeast for our club because we were starting to grow really big. And then 2 years later, I became the international sergeant of arms for the club. And then in 2014, I got elected to be the international vice president.
Wow. So you've accomplished a lot. I mean, just the way you've sort of, just a lot of experience. So I'm just wondering, Iron Order is really unique, we read, in the way that I don't know a lot about biker clubs and lifestyles, but I've heard some stuff. We've all heard about outlaw bikers, and society might have a certain perception of them, some people. There's one percenters, and there's colors, and there's patches, and maybe you can talk about that, and also how Iron Order is different from that sort of thing.
Sure. Most of our clubs have patches. It's just a matter of where they're placed at, and what they say for a top rocker versus a bottom rocker, versus center patch. You have motorcycle clubs, you have riding clubs, you have one-piece clubs, you know, two-piece, three-piece. We're typically your average three-piece motorcycle club, meaning that we have a top rocker, it says Iron Order, our center patch is our, you know, our logo, we affectionately call it the Jughead, and then our bottom rocker displays the state that we're from or country we're from, or in my case, and some of the members of my club, We're nomads. We don't belong to a chapter. You know, every club has their own distinct insignia, if you want to call it that, for patches. Iron Order is unique because we don't have any. How can I put it? We don't care what your background is. All we care that you have you're law abiding, and that you have, you know, if you have a family, you take care of your family. That you're, you know, honorable and respectful individual. Not to say that anybody else is not honorable and respectful, but it's just we put first and foremost to our members and tell them that, you know, we got to be respectful and honorable, not only to your family, but to your community and to your brothers and to your family.
Okay, that's great. There's a lot in that you just said.
Absolutely.
About, you know, the club's beliefs and values. I can hear, you know, I understand you talked about loyalty. I believe Orlana brought that up, and you just talking about being humble and respectful, I think.
Yes, sir.
So I think those are important values in society, and that's exactly what Lana and I promote here with Universal Soul Love and a lot of people that come on our show. So, I mean, there are a lot of similarities to the types of things that people are bringing, the guests that bring to Universal Soul Love.
It's very interesting to hear about a motorcycle club which is law abiding, and in fact I know one of my patients belongs to a Christian motorcycle club, and I know that they do they're basically like a big family, and they ride together, and they actually raise a lot of money together, and you know, that really opened my eye to the fact that there are motorcycle clubs out there that are very much law abiding and like a family. Can I ask you, Mike, what difference has the club made to you in your life?
Good question.
Well, you know, I've been in the club for 10 years, and it's been very, very, very beneficial for me. I've relocated. Because I am in military, I relocated at least 3 times while I was in the club due to military relocations, and you know, so I got to travel more and visit new members or other members, other locations in the States. And every time I went somewhere new, I met the folks up there, you know, my brothers, as we call them, and they welcomed me with open arms, you know. When I had to relocate from Atlanta to North Carolina, I had brothers come down to my house and help me pack my belongings. Now, I had the military move me, but some things I didn't want them touching, so I had my brothers help me, and they helped me pack my belongings for me, with me. You know, now, granted, I bought pizza and bought some beer for them afterwards, telling thank you, but still, they were willing to help me out. And we do that. That's part of our, the core nucleus of our brotherhood is help one another. Oftentimes, I tell a lot of brothers, you know, one of my models, and I tell the members in the club, is be the brother you want your brother to be.
Well, that's just like the golden rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated.
Absolutely.
That's very supportive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Mike, what's the difference between your club and the so-called one percenters? And perhaps you can tell us a bit more about them.
Well, we don't socialize with one percenters. We recognize who they are. We give them their space. They do their thing. We do our thing. We don't affiliate with them.
I think we might just have to define for our viewers who the one percenters are. That I mean, these I understand that the clubs that actually do break the law and that do cause trouble.
Or that's the perception, anyhow.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the perception they have. And, you know, I'm not a one percenter. I can't really speak for them on what they do or don't do. Some clubs were the 1% patch. That makes them, or that claims to be 1%ers, and there are 1%ers out there who don't wear a 1% patch. So,
right.
You know, that analogy for real 1%ers, you know, some say it goes all the way back to back in the days of the AMA when they said that 1% of the motorcycle community are the bad seed or the bad element or the criminal element. And that's how that came a term about to be the 1%ers.
I see.
But, you know, I don't live in that world. I don't, you know, visit that kind of mentality. It's
right.
Not for me to say. Some people fit into it. You know, I don't. It's not me. I just, it's not me. I'm not interested in that kind of lifestyle.
I know you have a really well informed website, and it's you've got some question and answers here. And
it's really good.
I would love to read this out. One of the questions there is, are you bad asses, or asses in American? And it says, we all have asses, some bigger than others. We are family men. We work hard. We play hard. We ride hard and take care of our brothers. No time for schoolyard games. I love that.
Yeah, that's really good. So what does happen when you're, I mean, you don't have to give any specific incidents, obviously, but what kind of things could happen when you sort of run into, I don't know what they call, outlaw bikers? I guess those are the one percenters and the others that, I don't know. So you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Well, a lot of things happen. This depends on the individuals, who meets who. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. One could be the location where you're at, how many of you, how many of them, the attitude of both individuals or both group of men. You know, is there respect given? Is respect earned? It can go anywhere from a handshake to a physical confrontation. It's never the same every time and in every location. It's always different.
Right,
it's
situation.
Where you're at.
Yeah, that's like life, Lana. You know, don't you think the way we're talking about this, about motorcycle clubs, particularly Iron Order, and others, there's sort of this, that's just a, they call it a subculture sometimes, some people do, but it's kind of, the biker culture is a reflection of
society,
the world, you know,
right.
in a lot of ways, and so...
Well, actually, you know, you're right. It is a subculture. It's a culture within a culture. Some would say a society within a society. We have our rules. Of course, we follow the state and local laws and federal laws and whatnot. But we also have our own internal laws that we must follow, our own bylaws that we follow as well. And if an individual is deemed to violate that bylaws, then we take action, disciplinary action. If you go anything from a fine to a center punch to a dismissal from the club, well, you face out in bad and you never return again.
And I think that's true of like any corporation. They have their color laws, and they have their policies, and even religions have their churches have their their doctrines and their policies and whatnot. And some people break the laws. So
essentially, every motorcycle club, even riding club, has their own internal bylaws that they follow. Now, they may not be the same. They'll have different bylaws. It's like, you know, every state may have a different bylaw, every state has a different law, or every country has different laws for different things. Same thing goes for every club. Even the Wellness Centers, they have bylaws. I have friends, you know, or people that I've known that are Wellness Centers, and granted, they cannot tell me their bylaws, and vice versa, I can't tell them theirs. But I do know that they have certain rules that they must follow and abide by. Just like we have certain rules and laws that we abide by, or if not, then we suffer repercussions of not following those.
Okay, so something else that I wanted to ask you is, does everyone have to own a Harley?
Right.
Good question. Great question. In my club, no, you do not. All we require is you to have a 650cc or higher cruiser-style motorcycle. We have gentlemen in our club that have everything from a Harley to a Triumph to Honda to Kawasaki to a Victory. That's one thing about our club. It's a little different than a lot of other clubs. We don't care what kind of bike you ride, so long as it meets qualifications of a 650cc or higher, and it's a cruiser-style bike. Now, we had a lot of interest several years ago from folks that rode the sport bikes, your Hayabusas and, you know, those kind of bikes. Those really, as we affectionately call them, crotch rockets. And we formed another club within the Iron Order, or outside the Iron Order, called Iron Rockets. And they all have sport bikes.
Interesting.
They call those Rice Rockets, is that right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Same thing. Yes, sir. Yeah. And they're great guys. They're great brothers. They attend our events. We attend their events. They have some of their bylaws. They have their own bylaws. Their patches are a little bit different. The same fonts. You know, it says Iron Rockets, but the bottom rockers are all the same, as in wording, you know, where they're from. And the center patch is different. But we're still one big family together.
That's great. I have to say, I've never, ever run into a biker that's ever confronted me and given me a hard time at any time, and I've never given them a hard time. They keep to themselves, and seen a lot of them, and I've done defense investigations, and I've had to go into the courts and the prisons, and they've always been respectful to me because I do the same. No one's ever given me a hard time in the prisons, maybe because I'm trying to help them out. And I have seen some people get railroaded by the system, and I've seen, you know, because the stories are very different from the criminal offender record, very detailed histories with people. And I've seen many people that are just violent criminal behavior. And so, you know, you just can't have people running around just causing a lot of trouble for society like that. So there's just a code of conduct that people have to abide by. I mean, we can't be hurting other people all the time. It's just not useful to us to be doing that. So
I have a lot of other questions, but I think we'll just take a 5-minute break.
All right.
A 5-minute music break, and we'll be back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. I'm sorry.
So we're going to come back now.
Yes, we're ready, and you're.
We'll go for another 10 minutes or.
Oh no, you've got another 10, 15, 22 minutes.
Oh, okay. 22 minutes. So we go to 11:56.
Yeah, 56.
Okay.
All right, okay. Then we're taping in 5, 4, 3, 2. You're back.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, welcome to our show. Today we're talking to Mike from the Iron Order Bicycle Club.
He's vice president of the Biker Club.
Okay, Biker Club. Okay, let's just stop it there. Let's just say it again.
Well, you need that.
Like a club.
That's okay.
All right.
Okay, so we're at 12 seconds.
Okay.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome back to our show. So we're talking to Mike, who is the vice president of a large international motorcycle club called Iron Order. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Mike, something I wanted to ask you is, what is it about riding a bike that's different to riding a car? I mean, I've never ridden a bike, but I imagine there's a great sense of freedom and power in the bike. And is that what's attracted you to a motorcycle in the first place?
Absolutely. I can't even compare it to anything other than maybe if you've ever gotten into a cabrio or a convertible, put the top down, roll the windows down, and go down the highway by yourself with the good music on, even with the music off, and you're going about maybe 80 miles an hour, and you can feel the warm sun on your face and the wind blowing through your hair. You know, that might be a close comparison to it, but it's not nothing close at all to the rest of us that have motorcycles and that ride motorcycles. It's the freedom of expression. It's the feeling you get when you know, you jump on your bike and you just ride somewhere. And sometimes you ride with a passenger. Sometimes you don't ride with a passenger. Just to ride somewhere and just enjoy the open road. You can go where you want to go on a motorcycle. And you just it's nothing between you and the ground other than two wheels. You're on two wheels, not four wheels. You don't have a door. You don't have a roof. Maybe you'll get wet from the rain. Maybe you won't. You know, maybe you'll get sunburnt. Maybe you don't.
And it sounds a lot like Born to Be Wild.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch this kind of movie, yes, sir, absolutely. I mean, it's just something, it's a feeling, almost a form of utopia, if you want to think about that. It's just an ultimate feeling of freedom, of release. You know, I work a lot and I get stressed out or just frustrated, you know, I know when I get home, I ride my motorcycle or, you know, I ride home from work. I feel much better my, you know, hour ride home or whatever I got to do. Sometimes I may take a little longer going home, take an extra round trip or, you know, take the long way home and really enjoy an open road, especially on good weather.
Well, it's like, that's the way my brother describes it, actually. You know, he works hard and it's, for him, it's a life. That's his lifestyle, like I said before.
Yes,
and
it is. For folks that ride motorcycles, even folks that don't belong to motorcycle club, there are folks out there who ride motorcycles who are independent. You know, they're called lone wolves. They don't belong to a club. They don't want to belong to a club. But they ride their bikes just as much as any other club holder does or pass holder does. And it's just a form of expression, a feeling of freedom of just riding and, you know, going on up the road. I mean, it's great.
And a lot of people actually find it kind of glamorous. They remember, a lot of people might remember, although I didn't see it, but there was Rebel Without a Cause, I think.
Yes, sir.
Was one.
Yes, sir.
And I know there's just been so many movies that conjures up images like just like you mentioned. And I guess there is like that kind of feeling is there.
Absolutely.
And everybody wants that, too.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of freedom of expression and almost excitement or even sometimes euphoria or just feeling that independence. And we just had Independence Day, so that must have been pretty exciting. As a matter of fact, I read that the club was actually founded on Independence Day.
Yes, sir, it was. They, you know, going back to the dates, they got together on July 4th weekend and discussed everything and how to do it, where to do it at, what they want to do, and that's how that started from just, like I said, eight guys getting together from all walks of life. And that's what the beauty of, I think Lana asked earlier, mentioned earlier about, or Dr. Love mentioned earlier about how we form and what's so special about us. It's just, we're men from so many walks of life. I mean, if you name an occupation, we probably have it in our club. And
right.
That's what makes us so unique is that we come from all walks of life. We don't care where you come from. We don't care what job you have. We don't care what kind of motorcycle you have. All we care about is, can you live up to expectations of being a brother to your brother and be that brother that we want members to have. We want, you know, a lot of clubs talk about they want quantity and they want to grow. They want to grow. We you know, in our early years, we may have been that way. You know, we want to grow. Of course, like any business or organization wants to grow me better. But then, you know, several years ago, we realized, you know what, we need to really turn the page a little bit and focus on quality versus quantity.
And I know Lana's about to ask an interesting question.
I guess I have a very curly question for you, Mike. You talk about brotherhood. Now, what about the sisters? What role do women play in your club?
Awesome, great question. Our women, we call them our significant others, could be the wives or the girlfriends. Sometimes you may have both, who knows. They are considered to be maidens. Those that want to be maidens, they consider to be Iron Maidens, Iron Order Maidens. They wear oval patch on their back. It says Iron Order Maidens. And the front says the same thing. And then down the bottom of the vest, on the backside, they'll have their member's name. You know, their significant other, either their boyfriend or their husband, they'll have their name. They're not members of the Iron Order, but they're there to support their man, you want to call it that, or their significant other. Support him by being there with him when he does his stuff with the Iron Order. Now, some of the wives or girlfriends don't always come out with their husband or boyfriend, and that's fine. They don't have to. No requirement for them. They don't pay any dues. They're not members of Iron Order. They're just there to support their man in the club. But we do have other maidens that really are into it, and there's nothing wrong with that either. We've had parties or events at a clubhouse, and the maidens will get together, and they'll cook. They'll bring all kinds of food. I mean, outstanding, delicious food. Everything from cakes to pasta to you name it, they bring to the event, which helps us in a way because, you know, it saves us from buying the food or getting it catered. You know, we get together. That's part of the brotherhood again. It's like almost like a, think about a potluck. You know, everybody brings a covered dish. That's what they do.
Leonard and I actually visited one of your clubs when we were in America about a year ago, and I think we had a really good experience. You know, the guys were great, and I think it was during the Super Bowl, actually.
Yeah, women were lovely, the food was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we had a social time, and everybody was very friendly and respectful and everything. And
so I have a question for you. Do some of your Iron Maidens have their own bikes?
They do. They absolutely do. And we allow them to ride with us. If we go on events or a poker run or a charity event, or we're just going out for a Sunday ride or whatever ride, absolutely, they can ride next to their husband or boyfriend anytime. Yes, ma'am.
So I have heard that some of your values are very much sort of around the 50s and 60s. And so I guess my question is, what about if the maidens wanted their own club? And what if some of the maidens wanted to become men? Like, what if they were transgender or lesbian?
I guess, can I jump in real quick? I'll just say that I think it's okay to have, for men to have their own organization sometimes.
True.
I mean, we're not talking about like this power domination, like the patriarchy. I mean, women are allowed to have their own groups and they can have their own clubs, right?
They can have their meeting clubs,
sure.
Yes.
I mean, there's equality there. I mean, does it matter if it's exclusive, really, or
I'm just
not
interested.
Okay, sure, absolutely.
Just interested.
Absolutely. Yep. Mike, jump in there.
Well, you know, it is a men's club, men's only, and I think you're right on the target there, is that sometimes, you know, we got to have our own organization. You know, we got to have women go do their thing, guys got to do their thing sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that, so long as you understand the boundaries and we don't go too extreme and vice versa. If the women want to start their own club, absolutely, go start your own club. I mean, you know, there are women martial clubs in the United States. They do their own thing. I mean, we're not going to have anything with them. I mean, as in help them or as in, you know, say that came from Iron Order. I mean, if the women want to get together and form their own club, then go for it. Good luck. We're not going to stop them.
Okay, so clearly it's a man's only club. Now, what then if someone is transgender?
I knew that question was coming.
That's
okay.
Well,
why not?
I haven't experienced that in our club, and I don't know. I know that's something that would have to be thought about. You know, like, well, you know, because you know that's a big thing going on in the United States with transgender and issues, and it's a touchy subject. It really is, and don't forget, we are a men's club. A lot of us are type A personalities. It would be a hard-pressed thing, I could tell you that, I think. It would be an interesting discussion at our meetings and voting and a lot of verbiage to be discussed on how would we do that, if we would do that.
Okay, so this is very much a sort of place where a man's a man and a woman's a woman, and a bicycle, a bike is a bike.
Right, but it's, I guess, right, I'm not, this does get very controversial, and I just, I know they're, what's the politically correct term is African Americans, and they have their own organizations, and there are, you know, there's different Christian sects and different religions, and you accept, yes, even in a corporation, you accept their bylaws and their rules when you become part of the organization, and if you don't like abiding by any organization's rules, then I guess you can go start your own. And I think as long as people aren't trying to dominate, like we talk about the patriarchy quite often, where there's this power structure that's trying to dominate other people and other groups and being disrespectful. And I know that there are some biker clubs that do that, and we've all heard about them. And there are a lot of organizations across the board doing this, all kinds at all levels. So while it's controversial, it's also can be somewhat clear how this all this works in our society and in many cultures. So I'm not really taking sides on this at all. I'm just trying to be objective and just look at it from the outside, I think, from a position of neutrality, which is difficult. But anyhow,
you mentioned on the race, and you know, one thing we pride ourselves in our club is that we don't care what color skin you have. We have blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics in our club. We don't care. We don't care what color. To us, that has no bearing on whether or not you can be a brother in our club. You know, that doesn't define you as a man, you know, your color of skin. You know, what defines you as a man in our club is what's inside and what your mentality is. That's what defines you as a man in our club.
And the key word is it's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood, and there are sororities, and there are fraternities, yes, and universities, yes, and men generally don't try to join the sororities, and women generally don't try to join the fraternities, but they coexist and they have fun together and they work together, and they generally, I know, and things get crazy in colleges too at times, but as we know.
I have to say, I think there is an important place for men to bond, and I think there's a lack of that in society, and I think it's important for men to have their own space, because we know that women easily form social groups. It's not always as easy for men, and with a change in roles in our society, I think a lot of men have become a bit more confused. So I think this is actually a very positive thing for men.
I think so. There are times when I like to be with my friends that are men and just go out and socialize and, you know, just have our time.
I like to have my girls' night out.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Well, I know I can hear some of our listeners sort of being a little bit disgruntled about, you know, they have their views on this topic, and that's okay too. I think everybody has the right to their beliefs and their opinions, and everybody has opinions, and that's just life. We're all individual thinkers, and so, hey. That's it.
One of the things we go by with our club is that, you know, we get in some heavy discussions, you know, between the brothers. We get in some heavy, serious discussions about certain things, but we remind everybody that in order to be a member of the Iron Order, it's a privilege, not a right. So when you join Iron Order, you're accepting their rules, like you mentioned earlier, their bylaws, their rules. And if you're not willing to accept those bylaws and those rules, then don't join. You know, it's not a right to join. It's a privilege to join. We remind our members that constantly, that, hey, look here, you know, got it. You got a right to do whatever you want to do. Got it. But when you join an order, it's a privilege.
And just like in a corporation, you have a certain job, you have a job description, and they expect you to do your job to the best of your ability, and they have rules of generally when you're supposed to show up in the morning and when you leave and when you take your breaks, and you don't have to join a particular company. You can go off if you want to and do the American dream and become a self-made man or woman and make your own life and your own fortunes and whatnot. Yep. So I don't know, we're universal soul love. I have a lot of friends that are from different ethnic backgrounds and they have different belief systems, and you do too, Lana, because it's a large network, and universal soul love is all about sovereignty. We talk a lot about sovereignty, and certainly Iron Order has its sovereignty, and we have our individual sovereignty, and we all have natural rights, right to life, right to be free from harm and the right freedom of movement.
Right to choose your lifestyle. Absolutely.
Yes. And as long as you're not harming others and, you know, you're just keeping yourself, I think that's okay, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's certainly been an eye-opener for me.
Yeah. So do you have anything else you want to add to this, Mike?
No, I just appreciate you guys having us. It's a pleasure to talk to you guys, and hopefully people can understand that. I'll tell you that not all bikers are bad people. Just like law enforcement. Not all law enforcement officers are bad. Some are not good. Some are not bad. But you can't stereotype a man or a person just because he has a leather vest on with a bunch of patches on it and rides a motorcycle as being a criminal enterprise or a criminal individual.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just not, you got to accept the individual as he is, and you know, when you get to meet the individual, talk to the individual, you know, take a breather and hopefully you get to meet a good individual. You know, respect gets respect, you know, gets earned, you know, or respect is earned and not given.
That's true in life, right?
You know, as you mentioned, you said you met a bunch of bikers and they never gave you a problem because you didn't cause any problems. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything wrong. You did your own thing. You minded your own business and you had a good time wherever you may have been.
Well, we talk about respect being a form of love, and it's self-respect is a form of self-love. So that's just life in general. You meet, I don't know, I don't really believe in good and bad. I believe in behavior, and just there's a variety of behavior from people in the world, and sometimes people don't respect other people for their beliefs, their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, or the way they live. They don't necessarily respect animals or the environment or just life in general. And there are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, supporting a lot of great causes in the world. And I know bikers do that as well for many different groups. So it's just a broad spectrum of people with and the way they live and behave in public with others.
I think it's wonderful that you've got a bike club that is law-abiding and where you loyalty and for one brother to another brother is so important. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's their focus and what that's they right. truly believe, yeah, and they yeah. try to maintain that, it sounds like, and yeah. I'm sure that's true. And
there's not enough connection in our society, and I know when we went to the
club, to the
gathering, we felt so much, you know, we were made to feel like part of a family.
Yeah, and the women were great, and they were interacting, and they seemed to be having a good time, and everybody did, and nobody was, you know, there was a lot of joking going on and everything, just like there is in a lot of parties or whatever. So,
who knows, we might buy a bike. we might become an Iron Man.
Yeah, Dr. Lanner and Detective David, born to be wild. How about that, huh?
Lovely to have you on our show, Mike.
Yeah, thanks
so much.
Thank
you for talking to us.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, this is goodbye from Universal Solar.
Yep. Goodbye for now. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Take care.